Ron Reagan is the son of President Ronald Reagan and First Lady Nancy Reagan. He's been a commentator on politics for MSNBC, a talk radio host and chief political analyst for KIRO Radio in Seattle, and the host of Air America's The Ron Reagan Show. He has written a book, My Father at 100, an intimate look at the life of his father, one of the most popular presidents in American history, told from the perspective of being his son. He was with us a year ago when the book first came out. It is now out in paperback, and it's a pleasure to welcome Ron Reagan back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me back, Joe. Appreciate
very,
it.
Very nice to have you here. What was the, because we talked to you very early in the process of going around and talking about the book, about your dad, of course, during that centennial year. What was that experience like for you?
It was interesting because I found that most people related to the book, as I'd hoped, less as a story about a politician, which it really isn't, and more as a story about a father and son, not just me and my father, but also, by extension, my father and his father, and you could even take it back farther than that, generation by generation. You know, everybody thinks that they know my father, know public figures that are as well known as he does, but as members of his family realized, you know, all along, there was a part of him that was very hard to know, and so that's what I went looking for in this book.
How do you feel that you, what was the key to finding that?
Finding his early life. I mean, we're all the children that we once were. We haul that childhood within us into our adult lives. And, you know, much had been written about his, of course, his film career and obviously his political career, but not as much about his very early years and his growing up, his college career and that sort of thing. And that, it seemed to me, if you want to really know somebody, you go back to the beginning. You find out where they came from. And that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I set out to do.
And as you alluded to, and that gets down to the relationship that he had with his parents, and specifically with his dad.
Mm-hmm. My father's a very paradoxical character. I mean, he's a very accomplished public figure, of course, was, yet a very private man. He was an introvert in a family of extroverts. His father was a great sidewalk raconteur, you know, always telling stories out in front of his dry goods store. His mother, though she was piously religious, was also a theatrical performer, loved the spotlight. His older brother was the song and dance man in the family when they were growing up. So he grew up in this very extroverted family, and he was actually the quiet kid who spent a lot of time on his own. He was undersized as a boy, always the new kid in school as they moved from town to town throughout the Midwest. So yeah, he was that. But then, of course, he became something of a local hero on the banks of the Rock River there outside of Dixon, Illinois, as a lifeguard, saving 77 people, which I think was a kind of turning point in his life.
Do you consider yourself an extrovert?
No.
So more like your dad.
Yeah, I mean, we both, I guess, have some capability of pulling off extroversion, you
well,
know,
sure.
Being in public. But both of us are by nature loners and introverts and love to have downtime where we're, you know, we can kind of regroup and be by ourselves and be in our own heads.
So that can either make a relationship more difficult or it can make it, and I assume this comes through time, of course, of understanding.
Yeah, I mean, much of our time spent together when I was a young man, would be, you know, we would be involved in either, you know, horseback riding or swimming or playing football, things that didn't require a lot of conversation, really. There was a lot of unspoken communication going on there. It was a kind of physicalized relationship, and we grew very close that way and identified with one another in that way, I think.
When you look at how that public perception is, were you at ever at odds with that in the sense of that you looked at it and said, okay, this is what people think, this is the way it is, and you try to bridge that gap, or don't you even worry about it?
You after a while, you stop worrying about it. As a young person, you know, particularly when I was really just a little kid,
sure.
And was running for governor, you get very upset and angry at people who you know, engage in personal criticism of your father. As you get older, his political career continues. You understand that, look, people have their sensibilities. People are going to dislike him. They have a right to their opinion, and you just can't, you can't be worried about that all the time, you know. So you let it roll off your back.
You do write about the assassination attempt in the book. I mean, obviously, that has to have a huge impact on an entire family, as well as a nation, of course.
Yes.
Did it change your relationship at all?
I don't know that it really changed our relationship, but of course you're right. It has to have an effect because you suddenly have mortality shoved into your face. I mean, this is a guy who always seemed, you know, in command and you know, very strong and everything, and here he is almost dying. You know, one loser with a cheap handgun and an exploding bullet, and you know, a life is almost ended, and it happens to be the life of your father and the President of the United States, of course, too. So, I mean, it sort of reality hits hard at that point.
And then, of course, there is the long journey that he had with Alzheimer's disease. And did that, again, a question about the impact, not so much on, I guess, the relationship with your father, but one of looking at the relationship in some sort of retrospective, as well as learning from other members of the family.
Because my father descended into Alzheimer's fairly quickly after he left office, I felt that I had missed the opportunity to sit down with him and talk to him about his early life. And I'd always been interested in our family history, genealogy, and all of that. And so in some ways, I think not being able to do that with him provided some impetus for me wanting to do it on my own, ultimately. By writing this book, going back and researching, going back to places that he, you know, he'd been and grew up, and researching even more widely in terms of family history, finding, you know, old graveyards and things where, you know, relatives are buried, relatives I'd never even heard of before.
Do you still like talking politics?
Oh, sure. Yes, I still sort of do that as a, more or less a living. Yes, indeed.
So what do you make of the election year?
Well, it's I think it's going to get very ugly. You know, unlike in my father's day, where, you know, things were ugly then too. Let's not
sure.
Sugarcoat the past. People, you know, famously, of course, used to beat each other with canes on the floor of the Congress and things, and various times in our history. So things have been pretty mean spirited in the past. But when my father, for instance, was in office, as most people know, you know, you could still reach across the aisle. There were conservative Democrats, and there were liberal Republicans. So there was a middle where you could meet, an identifiable middle. That middle seems to have evaporated largely, mainly because there are no more liberal Republicans. You know, the Republican Party is hardline conservative, very doctrinaire. Many of them like to speak in my father's voice, or what they imagine is my father's voice. They say that he would, you know, feel this way or that way about a given issue. I don't like to do that. I don't think that you can speak for somebody who's been dead for years now and out of public life for decades. I don't know what he would feel about various issues now, and I don't think anybody else does. Presumably, people's sensibilities change through time as new evidence arises. But I guess some people don't really think that way. And of course, everybody likes to, on the Republican side in particular, likes to invoke my father. But, you know, who else are they going to invoke? Richard Nixon? You know, I don't think that would work too well for them. So, of course, it's my dad.
It's a fascinating, beautiful memoir. It's called My Father at 100. It's published by Plume, now out in paperback. Ron Reagan, great to have you back. Thank you very much for being
with us.
Thank
you, Joe. Glad to be with you.
Thank you. Again, Ron Reagan is the author of My Father at 100, published by Plume. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.